Please turn with me to the book of Psalms. And to Psalm 130. Psalm 130, we shall read the whole psalm. A song of degrees. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And especially the words in verse 4. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Amen. Here is something we surely all need, and need greatly. God's forgiveness. We may not perhaps feel that we need God's forgiveness. We may be saying to ourselves, I've lived a good life, never done anyone any harm, never done anything that's really bad. Or we may feel that we have done so wickedly, we are so sinful that forgiveness is impossible. These can be our feelings when it comes to the matter of forgiveness, God's forgiveness. But whatever our feelings, the reality is we all need God's forgiveness. Because we are sinners by nature and by practice. And as soon as we come into the world, we're sinning against God. And we're going on in sin, different degrees, and perhaps we're hardening in sin. Conscience speaks, but then the conscience seems to become silent. When you go on in a sinful course, then perhaps the Lord will leave you in that course. And that's the worst thing of all, when God leaves us to ourselves. Far better that we are aware of our position before God, our accountability, and our real need before him. And here we have the wonderful promise of the gospel. Even here in the book of Psalms, the gospel was there in the Old Testament. God revealing mercy, abundant mercy, and his people enjoying that mercy in terms of forgiveness for their sin. Psalmist is affirming it. And indeed it is sweet to him. You see him there at the beginning of the psalm. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. That's where he was found. That's where sin puts us. We're in the depths. We're sinking. Is there any deliverance? Anyone to help? Conscious of straying from God, from his commandments. Our experience can be like that of Jonah. Or you remember Jonah, the disobedient prophet. He refused to go to Nineveh at God's command to preach to the Ninevites. He went down to Tarshish and said, got on board a ship, but the Lord was after him, would not leave his servant alone. The Lord sent a great storm, and the ship was nigh unto sinking. And Jonah was telling the mariners what they had to do if they would be spared. They had to cast him into the sea. He knew that he'd been disobedient. And so it was that he was cast into the sea. And we have in chapter 2 of Jonah his words as he recounts things that experience that no one could really comprehend, imagine. I cried by reason of mine affliction. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Sinking down into the waters, but the Lord sending that great fish to swallow up Jonah. And he's in the belly of the whale. These are his thoughts and these are his petitions. He's calling upon God, a merciful God. And the Lord, in his mercy, is hearing his cry. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Do we know anything of this? To be brought that low by an understanding out of the word of God of how we are in God's sight. And we're separated from God because of our sin. And that is how it will be for time and eternity. Unless we obtain forgiveness from God. Oh, the wonder of it. And the sweetness of it. When we experience it, and it is the one thing needful, the one thing we should be setting our hearts upon, seeking after, and not resting until we have it, and until we are sure of it, that we are forgiven by God. It's a great thing that God would forgive sin. And repeated sin. And sin of every kind. But he does. And that is why we have a gospel. And why we preach. And why we should be listening and learning. And laying these things to heart. Well, to consider forgiveness with God. As the Lord helps us. And firstly, to consider this, what forgiveness is. And of course we may have an idea of it. And especially in terms of our relations with our fellow men. But forgiveness with God. What is that? There is forgiveness with thee. That's what the psalmist says. And the word he uses means pardon. And this word is only used in the Bible with regard to God. God pardons sinners. That's what God does. To receive forgiveness from the one who has been offended. That's something to remember. We read in Deuteronomy. There you have the Ten Commandments. And, of course, they are in Exodus, but they're repeated there in Deuteronomy. They are the same. And there are two tables. There are commandments which respect our duty to God. And there are commandments which respect our duty toward our fellow men. But whichever commandment is broken, the sin is against God. If you break the commandments of the second table, if you do something wrong in terms of your obligation to your fellow men, you're wronging that individual, but you're wronging God. All sin is against God, against His holiness, His righteousness. Yet we turn to this verse, and we note the word at the beginning of the verse, but there is forgiveness with thee. This great God, this infinite God, perfect in holiness, and He's given His law to man. And the law is perfect, holy, righteous as the one who gave it. And here are sinners of mankind. And they've defied God. They've gone against Him. Deliberately, willfully. And they've incurred guilt before Him. That's the position we're all in. And we might be thinking, oh, there can't be any hope for such. For me, puny individual that I am, nothing in the sight of God. God made me, but I am unworthy. I sinned against the majesty in heaven. Can there be anything for me but punishment? But here we have the text. But there is forgiveness with thee. It's an affirmation, a declaration, and we are to hear it and to take note of it. And the but comes in the light of what he stated in the previous verse. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? If God, the holy and righteous God, would mark iniquities, no one would be able to stand in his presence. To stand means to be accepted. What is it for God to mark iniquities? It is for Him to watch them, to keep them in view, to take note of them. Now God knows all about you and all about me. He knows every sin that we've ever committed in thought, word and deed. They're all on record. He knows them in that sense. The question is, does He mark them? With respect to us, does He mark them? And the psalmist is saying, but there is forgiveness with thee. The God who knows my sin, knows it all, from the day I was born until my dying day. The God who knows these things, there is forgiveness with Him. God marking iniquity speaks of the justice of God. That's a great truth of the Bible. God is just. He is righteous. And that righteousness of God is inflexible. It never changes. Hasn't changed from Old Testament to New Testament. It's the same now as it ever was, because God is the eternal God. And His righteousness is perfect. It's nothing about it that anyone could say was inconsistent. And that's the truth. But what the psalmist is affirming in verse 4 is the truth of God's mercy. And that is just as perfect and infinite. But what the psalmist is able to do is to answer the truth of God's justice with the truth of God's mercy. And it shows us something about the saints under the Old Testament. We may tend to think of them as having less understanding than we do because we have the New Testament. Far from it. What God revealed to them was sufficient for them to know the way of salvation and to have a grasp of redemption as at the very heart of everything that has to do with God and His people. Redemption. You and I need a Redeemer because we are sinners. Because we can do nothing about our sin, we need a Redeemer. And you have that at the end of the psalm. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquity. A deliverance by a ransom. That's what redemption is. Mercy from the God whose justice has been satisfied by a payment made for sin. That is what redemption is about. And we need to keep it very much in the forefront of our minds. I am a sinner, yes. And in terms of the justice of God, I deserve condemnation. But there is forgiveness. God is merciful. And He's merciful on the ground of the redemption that He Himself purposed. Planned, executed, the redemption that now comes in terms of its benefits to His people. There is forgiveness. The psalmist could say that. Not everyone can. There is forgiveness because of the redemption. Because of the promised Messiah, because of the God-man, Jesus Christ, there is redemption, there is forgiveness. You see, some people have the view that forgiveness is something in the future. Something that they may have, potentially in the future, if they do their best. If they try their hardest, if they keep up their religious duties, perhaps God will forgive them in the end. But the psalmist is saying there is forgiveness. He enjoyed it now, in the present. And he was assured of it for time to come. Some people have the view that in terms of forgiveness, when you repent, when you come to Christ, all your past sins are blotted out. And they are. But it is then somehow left to themselves to try and not sin again and not to need forgiveness again. And if they do sin, they will have to, in some sense, make a payment for it. It's not like that. What Christ has purchased by His obedience in the sinner's place, in life and in death, is a full pardon. And when, by grace, we're brought to Christ, we enjoy that full pardon. And it covers all our sin, from first to last. By all means, we should be seeking God's forgiveness daily. We do that in acknowledgement that we sin continually, and that we do need his forgiveness, and we would honour him and his redemption by making known unto him our sin. But remember, dear friend, God's forgiveness is a full forgiveness. It's a complete forgiveness. Every sin that you've ever done, are doing or shall do, it's all forgiven in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What forgiveness is? But then let us consider how forgiveness is obtained. And the psalmist is saying, there is forgiveness with thee. With thee. And there's an emphasis there, is there not, on coming to God and being united to God, having this union, and out of this union, there is forgiveness. Sadly, it is here, just here, that man becomes very inventive in his own mind. When he's at all concerned with his sin and the prospect of meeting with God the judge, he becomes very inventive, but not in a good way. He begins to think about what he can do in order to get forgiveness. Something he can achieve, something he can present to God, that would be the basis for forgiveness. Turning over a new leaf. Making amends for things that have been done wrong. Seeking to follow some moral code. To be stricter in one's adherence to it. Being more dutiful when it comes to one's religion. And the duties required in it. These are the things that people do. And you can see the mistake. It's all centered upon themselves. It's all about what man will do to remedy his situation. It's nothing of the Redeemer. There's nothing of Christ crucified. There's nothing of the love of God coming to men through a gospel of free and sovereign grace, which gives all the glory to God, while all the benefit comes to men. This should be a great question in our hearts and minds. How can I obtain forgiveness from God? Please tell me the way. I must know it. Indeed, we must. Before we depart this life. And the answer is plain in the scripture. So plain that many stumble at it. What is the answer scripture gives? Says there is one way to obtain forgiveness from God. It is by faith. By faith. Not any faith. But faith in Jesus Christ. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Is he not unique in his person as the only begotten Son of God? Is he not unique in terms of the work he came to perform? In our nature, keeping God's law perfectly. No one could find any real fault, because there was no real fault, in the obedience of Christ. It was all just as God required. And it all culminated when he gave himself to the accursed death of the cross. When he made his soul an offering for sin. When he poured out his soul unto death. Why the anguish of Christ? Why his woe? Well, because the sins of his people were reckoned to his account. Their guilt was imputed to him. He took their place and was punished in their place. The wrath of God visited Jesus Christ, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, but made sin for the sake of his people. And forgiveness is by faith, because divine forgiveness is a gift. It's a gift. God's free gift to the undeserving, the hell-deserving. Do you see it that way? In the light of the scriptures? Do you see even the chief of sinners being saved because salvation is God's gift, forgiveness from the Lord by his grace? Saul of Tarsus, defiant, persecuting the church, thinking that he was doing God's service, by the vehement and cruel attitude he had to the followers of Christ. So proud. Pharisee of the Pharisees. But that man who had so sinned, and as we learn in the account of his conversion, the sin was against Christ. He was persecuting Christ, as it were, in persecuting his people. That man obtained God's forgiveness on the way to Damascus. The Lord met him in mercy, brought him to his knees, and the Lord revealed salvation to his soul. And you have Paul, as he became, recounting these things. He's always looking back upon his experience. He's always marveling at it. And he's able to say that when it comes to sinners, and the gospel for sinners, of whom I am chief. I am chief. There's no one more unworthy than I am. There's no one less deserving than I am. I'm the chief of sinners, less than the least of all saints. That's how he felt about himself. Is that how we feel? It's the right way to feel. And we will feel that way when we see the depths of sin in our hearts. And we appreciate the height of the mercy of God. Infinite mercy. And when you have this faith in the God of mercy, when you believe in the provision he has made for the sins of men, when you have a sense of your own sin, the burden of it opens your mouth. It opens your mouth in prayer. And you begin to call upon God. You're like the publican in the temple. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He had hope. Every hope because of the gospel. Because of a redemption provided by God and brought to men as his free gift to be received by faith alone in Christ alone. Well, thirdly, we should consider this, what forgiveness leads to, because it's there in our text, and we must not overlook this. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And to some this is a strange sound. Surely if I'm forgiven, I can be joyful all the time, and I can be praising God, and I can have a light spirit, a carefree attitude, everything is settled, and God is good, and I'll go on my way. Well, it's not to deny the joyfulness of a Christian at all, but it's to set the joy against this, against the need to have fear, the appropriateness of fear. And we have to understand what is meant here by fear. It's the fear of God. The fear of God. You see, those who believe that they have reconciliation, eternal life, they may imagine that because they are forgiven, God will always forgive their sin. They can live much as they please. Carry on living for themselves and for the world and the pleasures of sin. With the hope that they will still go to heaven. That's to pervert the gospel. That's of the devil. No. What is of God and of his grace in his people is this. Fear. It's the fear of God. It's not a slavish fear. Not at all. It's a childlike reverence for God. It's the awe of God. Friends, do we have that? Are we not bound to have that? When we consider what God has done for sinners, and if we believe in Christ, what he has done for us. What has God done? He sent the Son of his love, the darling of his own bosom, sent him into this sinful world to endure the opposition of ungodly men and to be nailed to the tree, the cross of Calvary, by the wicked hands of wicked men. He sent his Son to suffer for the likes of us. An awesome thing. Does it not make you bow down before God? Does it not make you to approach God with all reverence that he should have done such a thing? He did not need to. He did it freely. It's the revelation of his love. Oh, the love of God. The redeeming love of God. What can we say about it? We are lost, are we not? For words, they seem inadequate to express the matter. Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesians, wrote in this way concerning the love of God in Jesus Christ. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. To know something that is beyond knowing. To experience something that we cannot fully comprehend. That is the Christian's aim and desire continually, or to know more of the love of Christ. To know it in my soul, shed abroad by the Holy Spirit. To see in the Word of God the wonder of the Saviour's love in all that he did, in all that he accomplished. And friends, do we not experience it? Do we not experience it each time that we sin? Being conscious of our sin, we go to the Lord. And on the ground of the cross and the precious blood once shed for sin, we approach God, and we do so with confidence that he will forgive us. He will pardon us anew. And so he does, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. That thou mayest be feared. We need that in our personal lives, in the life of the church. It's not that we have to have long faces, go about mourning all the time. It's not that. But to have a proper sense of sin and the awesome nature of the way in which God has provided forgiveness for sinners. You cannot look at the cross other than to be affected in this way, to bow down and to have a sense of personal shame and unworthiness before God. But we rejoice in the cross. We glory in it. Because by the cross, forgiveness has come to us. This fear of God should be seen in the Lord's people in terms of a grateful obedience, a loving obedience. We cannot in any way pay the debt we owe to God. It's beyond anything that we could even begin to imagine doing. And we're not required to do it. That's the point. Christ has paid our debts in terms of our sin. And what the Lord requires of us in terms of gratitude, thankfulness, is a godly and humble and Christ-like walk in this world. That's what should be seen in us. And seen in us more and more. The best form of thanksgiving is thanksgiving, as has been said. And that requires grace. Grace we get from Christ, the one to whom we are united by faith. Is that how we're living? In the fear of God. In gratitude for what the Lord has done? Or are we still in that place where we cannot yet say, with regard to our sins, I know I am forgiven? There's still the sense that I may be answerable for my life, for my conduct, for the things I've done. Is that how it is with you? Is there still that fear? The fear of punishment? Well then, these words in the psalm are for you. And the experience the psalmist had is one that must become your own experience. Then you will see that your iniquities, God marked them against Christ. That's why he was at Calvary. That's why he suffered there. He paid for them. And you will be able to say, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Mercy, rejoicing against judgment. Christ judged in the sinner's place, that the mercy of God may flow to the sinner in the way of a full pardon for sin and life everlasting. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray for thy forgiveness, a sense of it, and a rejoicing in the knowledge of it. How sweet a thing it is that the one who is guilty before God may, because of Jesus Christ and his cross, receive a full pardon for all his sins. Open our eyes then, we pray. Bless these things to our understanding. And all we ask is for Jesus' sake. Amen.